Let us pray. God, timeless grace, you fill us with joyful expectation. Make us ready for the message that prepares the way, that with uprightness of and holy joy, we may eagerly await the kingdom of your Son, Jesus Christ, who reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, now and forever. Amen. Friends, the gospel, the second Sunday of Advent, always comes from stories describing the ministry of John the Baptist, that ministry that preceded Jesus' ministry. Mark's gospel, which is terse and urgently told, has no Christmassy story of the birth of Jesus, but it starts off right away with John. Listen now for God's word today. The beginning of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. As it is written in the prophet Isaiah, "See, I am sending my messenger ahead of you who prepare your way. The voice of one crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight." John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And the people from the whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem were going out to him and were baptized by him in the River Jordan, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel's hair, with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. He proclaimed, "The one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to stoop down and untie the thong of his sandals. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Now, my friends, we come to the time of our pageant, and before we begin, I'm going to end the screen share here for a moment, and I just want to make sure, do a little head count. I want to make sure Otto is here, Alex is here, Charlotte is here, Joel is here, and Miranda and Isabel are here. Yes, they are. Yeah. Danny will be appearing courtesy of pre-recorded audio as he is unable to be with us today. So I believe we are ready. Everyone ready? Okay. So folks, last Sunday we began the new Christian year, the first Sunday of Advent, and the holy season of Advent. And Advent, as you know, I think, means coming. And through the centuries, Christians have observed this time of waiting and expectation before celebrating the birth of our Savior at Christmas. The Advent season is a time for reflection and preparation, but the mood is joyful. The season is about how God's love was expressed in the humble birth of Jesus in a stable. It points to the hope of Christ's coming again to bring peace to all people. It's been said that Advent makes innkeepers of us all, asking each of us to make room for the arrival of the Christ child. During these days of Advent, we prepare room for Christ in our hearts, our lives, and our homes.
In the church and in our own homes, we have ways of getting ready, ways of preparing, ways of digging the halls in joyful anticipation. Some of these ways are unique to certain cultures, while some have become nearly universal. So we thought it would be fun to take a look at some of our holiday traditions. To begin, Otto is going to tell us about the tradition of evergreens.
Otto?
I'm here.
Okay.
One of the most recognized and universal features of Christmas is the use of evergreens in churches and homes, public buildings and parks, and even stores. Do you know what evergreens are? Holly and ivy plants are evergreens, and so are trees like pine trees and fir trees. They are called evergreens because they never change color. They are evergreen, ever alive, even in the middle of winter. There's even a Christmas carol called The Holly and the Ivy. To the ancient Romans, evergreens symbolized peace, joy, and victory. Long ago, the early Christians put evergreens in their windows to show that Christ had entered their home. These green symbolized God's unchanging nature, and they remind us of the everlasting life that is ours through Christ Jesus. In Isaiah, we find these words: "The glory of Lebanon shall come to you, the pine, the firs, and the cypress trees, to beautify the place of your sanctuary." No wonder we put greenery in our churches. And even though we can't worship our church this year because of the pandemic, Mr. Spano has put out the Avonwreath and put wreaths on the church doors, and the tree will go up soon. Holly also became widely used in Christmas celebrations. Tradition has it that with its bright red berries, holly represents the burning bush. The red berries among the prickly holly leaves also represent the blood drop from the cruel thorns in the crown of Jesus. In England, British farmers used to put sprigs of holly on their beehives. On the first Christmas, they believed even the bees hummed a song in honor of the Christians. Here in our country, people used to call the gathering of evergreens "bringing home Christmas."
Thank you, Otto. And now, Alex will tell us about one of the most important uses of evergreens at Christmas. Alex? Alex, are you?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, good.
Maybe the most beloved Christmas tradition is the Christmas tree, which is often at the center of festivals, glittering with lights, ornaments. Too many of us, it's an important part of the beauty and meaning of Christmas. Now, there are several legends and stories about the Christmas tree. One says that the Christmas tree was the first used in the medieval German paradise plays, were put on the olden days when not many people could read. So across Europe, the plays were performed to teach the stories of the Bible. The plays were performed on Christmas Eve outside because there were no theaters in those days. The plays told the story of the creation of the world. To perform it, people needed the tree of life, which was represented by an apple tree. But in winter, apple trees didn't bear fruit. Of course, so an evergreen tree was hung with apples, which came from storage. From this beginning, the use of a Christmas tree was established. Martin Luther, the famous 16th century German Protestant reformer, may have been the first person to have a lighted tree. The story goes that once Christmas Eve, Martin Luther wandered outdoors and was awestruck by the beautiful of the starry sky. Its brilliance and loveliness made him think the first Christmas Eve, when the shepherds saw the sky above, Bethlehem shining with God's glory, wanted to share the enchantment he felt with his family. Martin Luther cut down an evergreen, glistening with snow, and took it home. He put candles on its branches to represent the glorious heavens he had seen. The use of candle lighting tree spread to all Europe and then all over the world.
Excellent. Thank you, Alex.
All right, next, Charlotte is going to tell us more about the Christmas tree decorations.
Here's a folk story about the tradition of putting tinsel on the Christmas tree. In olden days, the story goes, people wanted their animals to be a part of the Christmas celebration because the baby Jesus was born in a stable. Some people even let their farm animals come inside their homes to see the Christmas tree on Christmas Eve. But no one wanted to welcome spiders into their homes because, you know, who wants spiders in their house? But spiders weren't happy about that. So they complained to baby Jesus. Jesus was sad for the spiders and helped them get into the home at late night to see the Christmas tree. The spiders had a great time the whole night, moving happily from one branch to another and covering the tree with their spider webs. The next day, everyone was excited to see what the spiders had done because with the help of baby Jesus, all the cobwebs had turned into sparkling silver. That's the story, anyway, and the tradition of decorating the Christmas tree with the tinsel is still followed today. Also, in the olden days, people used fruits and nuts and paper flowers to decorate their trees because those were the things that might grow on trees, if not evergreens. Soon, the other decorations began to be added, like paper streamers and bits of shiny metal foil. Then, people began to use gingerbread and other hard cookies that they baked in shapes like fruits, stars, bells, hearts, and angels. As the tradition of Christmas trees and ornaments became more widespread, each country added its own ideas. Americans, for example, would string long strands of cranberries or popcorn to decorate their trees. Does anyone here do that?
Maybe we'll hear from some people later. Great job, Charlotte. Thanks so much. And here is Joel, who's going to tell us about the Advent wreath.
Alrighty. In the church, maybe the most important use of evergreens is for our Advent wreath. Advent's time of expectation is symbolized not only by the four-week period of preparation, but also by the lighting of an Advent candle in an Advent wreath on each Sunday of the season. Like we did last week and today, the flame of each new candle reminds us, the worshipers, that something is happening and something more is still to come. The wreath itself is round, of course, reminding us of the continuous power of God, which has neither beginning nor ending. And the flames of the candles signify the persistence of life shining on even in the dark days of winter. Some churches use blue candles. Some use red candles. We use purple candles, one pink and a white candle in the middle. The pink or rose-colored candle is used for the third Sunday of Advent, known as Gaudet Sunday, from the Latin word meaning to rejoice, which comes from the first line of one of the scripture readings for the third Sunday of Advent. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. The large white candle in the center is known as the Christ candle and points to Jesus as the Christ, the light of the world. We light it on Christmas Eve, celebrating that Christ our light has come. Now, following me, Miranda will tell us about a tradition from closer to home.
Likes European traditions, but one colorful plant which looks like a flaming star, the poinsettia, is native to the American continent. It was named after Dr. Joel Robert Poinsett, an ambassador to Mexico who first introduced it to the United States in 1828. The people of Mexico and Central America call the brilliant tropical plant the flower of the holy night. The poinsettia is a many-pointed star that has become a symbol of the Star of Bethlehem. The legend of the poinsettia comes from Mexico. It tells of a girl named Maria and her little brother Pablo. They were very poor, but always looked forward to the Christmas festival. Each year, a large manger scene was set up in the village church, and the days before Christmas were filled with parades and parties. The two children loved Christmas, but were sad because they had no money to buy presents. They especially wished that they could give something to the church for the baby Jesus, but they had nothing. One Christmas Eve, Maria and Pablo set out for church. On their way, they picked some weeds grown along the roadside and decided to take them as their gift to the baby Jesus. Of course, they were teased by other children when they arrived with their gift, but they said nothing, for they knew they had given what they could. Maria and Pablo began placing the green plants around the manger, and miraculously, the green top leaves turned into bright red petals, and soon the manger was surrounded by beautiful star-like flowers, the way we see them today.
Thank you, Miranda. And now I'm going to go back to screen share, if I can, and through the magic of technology, I'm going to bring you a Danny telling us about some more Latin American traditions. I'm going to note, though, I sort of forced Danny into this with very little notice. He was a real trooper to do this as we recorded it over Zoom. So here comes, here is Danny.
Another non-European tradition is Las Posadas, which is Spanish for the inns. Las Posadas is a religious festival celebrated in Mexico, Central America, Cuba, and some parts of the United States between December 16th and 24th. It commemorates the journey that Joseph and Mary made from Nazareth to Bethlehem in search of safe refuge where Mary could give birth to the baby Jesus. When they were unable to find lodging in Bethlehem, Joseph and Mary were forced to seek shelter in a stable where the child Christ was born. Each evening during the festival, a small child dressed as an angel leads a procession through the streets of the town. The procession is mostly made up of children dressed in festive robes, carrying lit candles and images of Mary and Joseph. Adults, including musicians, follow the procession, which visits several homes and asks for lodging for Joseph and Mary. Traditionally, the procession is always refused lodging, though the hosts often provide refreshments. At each stop, passages of scripture are read and Christmas carols are sung. The glowing brown paper sacks that adorn Albuquerque walkways, churches, and homes each holiday season are called luminaries and date back more than 300 years. The new Mexican tradition began when Spanish villages along the Rio Grande displayed the unique and easy-to-make Christmas lanterns to welcome Christ into the world. A traditional luminaria is a brown paper bag which has been folded at the top, filled with sand to weigh it down, and a lit votive candle.
Excellent. We thank Danny in absentia.
Now, Isabel will tell us about one of many people's favorite traditions.
One thing almost everyone loves is singing Christmas carols. The origin of caroling as a part of Christmas celebration is unknown, though several countries have claimed to be the birthplace of the custom. We do know that from the early days, music was a part of the church festivals in honor of the birth of Jesus. Martin Luther wrote that when Christmas was celebrated, he and his friends went from house to house and village to village singing popular Christmas carols. The first carols, of course, were sung by the choir of angels who sang, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill to all people." A paranda is the Puerto Rican version of Christmas caroling. Friends and families gather in front of a house, usually after 10 p.m., with instruments like panderos, maracas, and guitars to sing traditional Christmas songs. The idea is to surprise the household, so the panderos will sneak up as quietly as possible and break into song to wake the people up with joyful and jubilant music. Of course, really, people know they're coming, and it's a tradition for the household to offer refreshments and then join the group to bring the party to the next house. Sometimes parandas can last until sunrise.
That actually sounds like a lot of fun, doesn't it? Thank you so much, Isabel. Well, there are a lot of other traditions, of course. We haven't even talked about gift giving or St. Nicholas or Father Christmas or Santa Claus. But I wondered, we do have a few moments, if anyone here would like to share a Christmas tradition that we haven't mentioned that they either grew up with or practice now. anyone? And if you are, I'd ask the folks on the phone first, because I can't see them. So if they, anyone on the phone wants to unmute and share a Christmas tradition. Hearing nothing, is anyone doing, skip any traditions that you celebrate, the rest of you who are on video? All right. Well, maybe you'll share if you think of something at another time.
I have something. I can share.
Oh, okay. Who's that?
Lindsay. We often visit my husband's family in England at Christmas time, and I enjoy the tradition. I enjoy many English Christmas traditions, but I do like the Christmas crackers, the pull apart snack. Little loud noise, and then you get a little crown that you can wear, which is of course commemorating the three kings, and a little present inside that. So it's a reminder of the visit by the wise men to the Christ child, and the tradition of gift giving.
Oh, great! I never really understood the cracker tradition, so thank you, Gordon. Karen, did you want to share one?
I was going to share that when I was growing up, my grandma would always have a lot of children watch her bake cookies. And she would bake a special cookie from Eastern Europe, a nut horn cookie. And then she would often take these to people who lived alone or who were sick or in a nursing home. And so we all kind of saw how grandma would bake cookies, and then she would take them to people in need. So it stayed with us. Baking.
Yeah, that's beautiful. Thank you. Thanks so much. Alex, I see you.
I don't know. I was the one who probably started this, but every year I put my little train set around the tree. I do that.
That's beautiful. I love that.
That's why I do that.
I love that. When I was little, Alex, we had train sets, and I think maybe we used to, like, if we got a new train or something for the train sets, my parents would set it up around the tree. So we wake up Christmas morning and the train was going around the tree. So I think that's a great tradition. I was also going to ask if dyeing your hair green for Christmas was a new tradition. No. Is there anyone else? Barbara and then Susan.
I just was remembering that the year I spent in Europe, I visited relatives in Germany for Christmas. And in Germany, their Christmas tree looked very sparse to me. There were just widely spaced branches, whereas the trees I was used to were very full and dense with branches. But they put live candles on their tree and light them. And my cousin said, "What do you listen to when you watch the tree?" And I thought, my goodness, they actually spend their evenings watching the tree, partly so that it doesn't burn the house down. And so we listened to Handel's Messiah in German, watching the tree. And I realized that I actually do something similar typically when I'm wrapping packages at the last minute. Oh, and I listen to all of my favorite Christmas music.
So. Nice. Nice. Yeah, those lighted candles must be beautiful, but yes, very dangerous. Thank you for sharing that. Susan Gordon Clark, if you would unmute.
We used to have, and I'm sure many people do this too, but we used to have special stockings every Christmas. And my mother, who was a really wonderful seamstress, made stockings for each of us five children. And they were made out of felt with our name at the top. And it was all with sequins and little decorations on the, they were wonderful stockings. And each one of us had one. And we would come down Christmas morning and they would be filled with tangerines and chocolates and little tiny, little small gifts. And it was always a great tradition. And, it was really wonderful to each person had their own stocking. with their name on it. So it was kind of a special thing that she made for us.
Yeah, that's beautiful. Thank you. What a nice tradition. And before we move on, Barbara, you reminded me, when I grew up, I grew up in a house with fireplaces. So we always had fires at Christmas, but we also, those of you at least lived in New York, on Channel 11, WPIX, they had the Yule log. And it was on your television, and it was just a picture of a fireplace with a fire in it, and they played Christmas carols. And you could watch that for hours and hours and hours. So now let me turn things back to
Hello.
You.
Reverend
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I'd like to say, I'm trying to get rid of the echo here. Right. So, couple of things. We did in Grenada use the crackers, and I guess that's one of the things the British taught us, left with us. We would have the Christmas carols at dinner. But the other thing that we had was on Christmas morning, very early, local carolers with instruments, homemade instruments, would come around and knock on the door and gently wake us up and sing Christmas carols and local songs of Christmas. We would generally offer some refreshments, but that would sort of start us off really early in the morning, 6 o'clock. We'd be waiting for them to come singing. So that was one thing that we did also.
That is beautiful. What a lovely way to wake up on Christmas morning, although I'm sure little you were awake today, so excited.
We were up before.
Of course.
Waiting.
Okay. Thank you all for sharing this. That was so interesting to hear. And now I'll turn it back to Joel.
We hope that hearing about some of our Advent and Christmas traditions may help us to recapture the spirit of our early traditions and of the very first Christmas. We wish you all a joyful and meaningful Advent and Christmas.
We wish you time to get together with your families and friends, virtually at least. Time to string popcorn or bake cookies. Sing carols. We can't physically come to church this year, but we can Zoom like we are today. We can't visit people, but we can make phone calls and send cards. We can give gifts of the heart and make room for the Christ child who is always ready to make his home with us. Amen. And I